From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson in intensive care with coronavirus. Japan to declare emergency to tackle the rapid spread of COVID-19. Now, the news in detail. Prime Minister Boris Johnson was in intensive care on Monday after his coronavirus symptoms worsened, prompting concern for his health and well wishes from political friends and foes in Britain and abroad, as the country battles to control the outbreak. As quoted by AFP.com on April 7, Downing Street stated Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab was immediately appointed to take over his duties where necessary. The government's business will continue, Raab pledged, adding that Johnson was in safe hands at St. Thomas Hospital, opposite Parliament in central London. He added the focus of government will continue to be on making sure that the Prime Minister's plans will be taken forward. Johnson, who confirmed that tested positive for COVID-19 on March 27, was last seen in a Twitter video on Friday saying he still had a temperature and was staying in self-isolation. Japan is to declare a state of emergency in the capital Tokyo and six other regions in an attempt to tackle the rapid spread of coronavirus. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said the move could come as early as Tuesday. As quoted by BBC.com, he also announced a huge stimulus plan to help the economy weather the virus. Japan has a relatively small number of infections compared to other countries, but there are concerns a sudden surge in cases in Tokyo could lead to a major outbreak in the world's biggest city. So far, Japan has confirmed 85 deaths. In Tokyo, there are now more than 1,000 confirmed cases, more than double the number of a week ago. The state of emergency would last about a month, Mr. Abe said. It will cover Tokyo, Osaka, and five other prefectures. The governors of the prefectures will have the powers to close schools and businesses, but the authorities will not have the legal authority to order citizens to stay at home. The head of the World Health Organization has condemned as racist the comments by two French doctors who suggested a vaccine for the coronavirus could be tested in Africa. As quoted by BBC.com, Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus stated Africa can and won't be a testing ground for any vaccine. The doctor's remarks during a TV debate sparked outrage, and they were accused of treating Africans like human guinea pigs. One of them later issued an apology. When asked about the doctor's suggestion during the WHO's coronavirus briefing, Dr. Tedros became visibly angry, calling it a hangover from the colonial mentality. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has urged governments to include the protection of women in the response to the deadly novel coronavirus pandemic. As quoted by AFP.com, on April 6, reports of domestic violence have surged globally in the wake of massive lockdowns imposed to contain the spread of the disease. Guterres in a statement and video released in multiple languages days after his call for a worldwide ceasefire in the wake of the outbreak that violence is not confined to the battlefield. Antonio Guterres also explained for many women and girls the threat looms largest where they should be safest, in their own homes, describing the rise in domestic violence as horrifying. He urged all governments to make the prevention and redress of violence against women a key part of their national response plans for COVID-19. France has reported 833 new coronavirus deaths in the past day, the highest daily toll since its outbreak began. As quoted by BBC.com, the total number of people who have died after testing positive for COVID-19 now stands at 8,911, while the number of infections is 98,010. Health Minister Olivier Véran warned that it has not reached the end of the ascent of this epidemic. Italy's daily death toll also rose on Monday after several days of slowing, but Spain's fell for a fourth day. It came as UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was moved to intensive care at a hospital in London after his COVID-19 symptoms worsened. Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto has imposed relaxation on export and import regulation on health equipment and personal protection equipment as a strategic move to solve the problem of their scarcity amid the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Suparmanto noted in a statement on Monday that four trade ministerial regulations have been revised in connection with the supply of health equipment, especially for medical workers and hospitals handling COVID-19 patients and to meet public demand in Indonesia. Trade Minister's Regulation No. 34 of 2020 has temporarily banned the export of antiseptic, mass raw material, personal protection equipment, mass and ethyl alcohol, effective until June 30, 2020, as domestic demand has jumped owing to the pandemic. Trade Minister's Regulation No. 28 of 2020 on the import of certain products has temporarily scrapped the obligation to submit a survey report for the import of masks and the protection equipment products and other health equipment until June 30. 16 Indonesian musicians have collaborated on a song titled Menjaga Dunia, or Safeguarding the World, dedicated to those battling the coronavirus pandemic in Indonesia and the rest of the world. The song, composed and produced by Ade, has been released on several digital platforms on Monday, April 6. The song has also been made available on YouTube. The project are work by Indonesian top musicians, namely Rian Demasif, Anji, Judika, Titi DJ, Lala Carmela, Fidi Aldiano, Pamungkas, Rizky Fabian, Cita Citata, Ilham Hi-Fi, Neida Hi-Fi, Claudia Emanuela, Ivan Govinda, Ade Govinda, JJ Govinda, and Dimas Joy. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Well, listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Ramadan Amidst COVID-19 Pandemic. Well, listeners, about 2 weeks ahead, Muslims around the world are going to be fasting. Mandatory fasting for believers of Islam is one of the awaited worships in Indonesia. Besides fulfilling the fasting, there are some habits that are often carried out during the month of Ramadan, such as sharing iftar and sahur, performing the sunnah prayer, taraweh all together, and following the studies and tadarusan or reading the Quran together in the mosque. But in the situation of the whole world fighting against a new coronavirus pandemic or COVID-19, the situation will be different from previous years. Remembering that the month of Ramadan this year is still in the emergency of COVID-19 disaster. Indonesia, through the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, has set a state of disaster emergency until May 29th 2020. To provide guidelines for worship in accordance with Islamic Sharia, while preventing, reducing the spread, and protecting Muslim employees and communities in Indonesia from the risk of COVID-19, the Ministry of Religious Affairs of Republic of Indonesia has issued Circular Letter No. 6, 2020, related to Ramadan and Idul Fitri, 1 Sawal, 1441 Hijriah, amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. This circular regulates the implementation of Ramadan and Idul Fitri and guidelines for the collection and distribution of alms or zakat. The Minister of Religious Affairs asks Muslims in Indonesia to perform Taraweeh prayer individually, to worship together with the nuclear family at home, and to perform recitation or Tadarus al-Quran at their respective homes. All activities to get together with many people, such as sharing sahur and iftar in the social environment, government agencies, private institutions, mosques, and prayer rooms are not allowed during the disaster emergency. Activities that are also omitted are iftikat activities or keeping silence in the mosque to worship on the last 10 nights of Ramadan at the mosque or mushallah. Through this circular, government calls on Muslim believers to pay their zakat before the fasting month of Ramadan so that it can be distributed to the people who are eligible to receive the zakat more quickly. Those people who organize the collection of zakat must also pay attention to the policy of large-scale social restrictions. Perhaps no Muslim in the world, especially in Indonesia, imagines that they will go through the month of Ramadan by putting forward the restriction or maintaining physical distancing from each other, and they are unable to meet at the mosque or musalla to perform the obligatory prayers and the sunnah traweh or gather with the relatives and friends in strengthening friendship. But in the situation of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has attacked 203 countries, affected more than 1.2 million people, and claimed more than 67,000 lives, breaking the chain of transmission is the best step. Maintaining one's health, either friends or relatives, at this moment is the most vital. Zakat paid before Ramadan can help those who are entitled, most of whom are those affected by COVID-19. With joint efforts against COVID-19 and prayers offered to the God, the disaster of the COVID-19 pandemic will soon shake off. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Hello, welcome back to Today in History from Voice of Indonesia. We'll begin with April 7th, 1948. WHO is established. In 1948, the World Health Organization organized the first World Health Assembly. It decided to celebrate World Health Day on April 7th every year, starting 1950. World Health Day is held to commemorate the establishment of WHO and is seen as an opportunity to draw the world's attention to becoming aware of major global health and problems each year. Turning now to April 7, 1994, genocide in Rwanda begins. The Rwandan genocide is a massacre of 800,000 Tutsis and moderate Hutus by a group of Hutu extremists known as the Interahamwe that occurred in a 100-day period in 1994. This incident began on April 6, 1994, when Rwandan President Juvenal Habyarimana was shot and killed. Allegedly, the violent shooting was carried out as a protest against President Habyarimana's plan for the future of Rwanda. Habyarimana planned to carry out ethnic unity in Rwanda and share power with other ethnic groups. This triggered a massive ethnic massacre in Rwanda. Only a few hours after Habyarimana was killed, all places in Rwanda were immediately blocked. Special President Guards, with the help of French instructor, immediately took action that led to a massacre. They collaborated with Rwandan Interahamwe and Impuzamugambi militant groups. I'll end with April 7, 2017, the Stockholm attack. The Stockholm 2017 attack is a terror attack that occurred on April 7, 2017 at 2:53 local time. A man hijacked a freight truck and crashed into a crowd along the freeway and the door to the Ahlens department store in downtown Stockholm, Sweden. This attack killed at least 4 and injured a number of people. That was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia to the World.
See you. rasa rindu ini. Aku ingin lekas segera memelukmu, cinta. Luas samudra yang ku arungi takkan menghalangi niatku untuk pulang. Aku ingin lekas segera.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is The Minister of Foreign Affairs Converged the Indonesian Government's Policy to Mitigate the Impact of COVID-19 in Indonesia to the Diplomatic Corps. While listener Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, Mahendra Siregar, underlined President Joko Widodo's policy in mitigating the impact of COVID-19 through an interactive video conference with more than 120 embassies and international organizations in Jakarta. As quoted on the website kemlu.go.id, the video conference was delivered by Deputy Minister Mahendra Siregar along with Deputy Minister of Finance Suhasil Nasara and government spokesperson for handling COVID-19 as well as Director General for Disease Prevention and Control at the Minister of Health of Republic of Indonesia, Ahmad Yuryanto. This submission is the second one after previously held on March 17, 2020. In addition, Deputy Minister Mahendra pointed out the key steps taken by the Government of Indonesia related to the declaration of the status of emergency public health and government regulation on large-scale social restriction. He also ensured that consular services for foreign representatives and international organizations would still be provided both directly with prior agreements and by telephone and online. Deputy Minister Mahendra also expressed his appreciation for the cooperation and assistance of friendly countries as well as urgent organization of the use of hotlines and more intensive coordination in minimizing the impact of spread of COVID-19. Meanwhile, government spokesperson for COVID-19 handling, Ahmad Yuryanto, announced the latest data on positive cases, patients recover, and deaths related to COVID-19 in Indonesia. With particular emphasis on cases involving foreign citizens, he also explained the evacuation protocols related to foreign citizens who were positive patients with COVID-19. Corpses diagnosed with COVID-19 and patients with other illnesses and related to repatriation of Indonesian citizens who were diagnosed with positive COVID-19. Deputy Minister of Finance Suhasil Nasara said that the impact of COVID-19 is in fact a global recession. So Indonesia needs to take extraordinary steps to minimize the impact at home. He detailed an economic stimulus package worth 405.1 trillion rupiah divided into four categories: economic recovery, business tax cuts and assistance for micro, small and medium enterprises, social assistance and public health. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Satu, hey, 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 hey.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you to 1,000-foot traditional house of Arfak tribe, Papua. Arfak tribe is one of Papuan original tribes who living in, on Arfak Mountain, Pegunungan Arfak Regency, West Papua. The Regency is located in the northwest of Birds Head Peninsula. Arfak tribe has some tribal groups, namely Hatam, Moyle, Meyak, and Sauk tribes. Each group has similar history. It can be seen from their traditional houses, which are usually mentioned Rumah Kaki Seribu or 1,000-foot house. Rumah Kaki Seribu, which has original name Mot Aki Aksa or Ikoje, is actually Steele's house. It is because Arfak traditional house uses so many small rounded roofs. All poles, frames, and floors of the house are made of small rounded woods. Its wall is made of tree bark, while its roof is from grass and the floor is made of plaited rattan. Generally, Rumah Kaki Seribu has an area of approximately 8 by 6 meters and 4 to 5 meters high. Usually, some families are living in one Kaki Seribu house. Rumah Kaki Seribu or 1,000-foot house has full of meanings and the house has no window. The reason is because they want to unite with nature. They make all house foundations from part of trees. The house has two doors, namely front and behind doors. In addition to protect occupants from wild animals, the Steele's house makes them comfort and believe safe from devils. The house only has two inside parts, namely left part for women called Ngimsi and the right part for men called Ngimdi. The 1,000-foot house has high sense of togetherness. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Rumah Kaki Seribu or 1,000-foot traditional house from Papua. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Satu hal pun yang bisa pisahkan kau dan aku di malam ini. Bisik suaramu terdengar, lambut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi. Menarilah bersama menjadi satu. Kan ku buat malammu takkan pernah terlupa. Dunia seakan terhenti. Sayang kau buatku kini seakan memiliki dunia baru.
Tak satu hal pun yang bisa pisahkan kau dan aku di malam ini. Bisik suaramu terdengar, lembut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi.
Bersamaku melebur menjadi satu. Kan ku buat malammu takkan pernah.
Jadi satu. Hanya kamu dan aku.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Restoran ada di mana? Or in English, where is the restaurant? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on restoran ada di mana or where is the restaurant.
Selamat malam, restoran ada di mana ya?
Selamat malam, Pak. Restoran ada di lantai 3.
Terima kasih.
Sama-sama, Pak.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce expressions and vocabulary related to today's theme, Restoran ada di mana or where is the restaurant? I will say the words 2 times and you may repeat after me. Selamat malam. Selamat malam, which means good evening. Restoran ada di mana? Restoran ada di mana? Which means where is the restaurant? Restoran ada di lantai 3. Restoran ada di lantai 3, which means the restaurant is on the 3rd floor. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Sama-sama. Sama-sama, which means you are welcome. Di mana? Di mana, which means where. In the conversation, you heard Kevin asking about the location of the restaurant. Restoran ada di mana? Restoran ada di mana? Which means, where is the restaurant? If you want to ask for location, you can use the question word di mana? Di mana? Which means, where? Now let's listen to the following examples. Restoran ada di mana? Restoran ada di mana? Which means, where is the restaurant? Restoran ada di lantai 3. Restoran ada di lantai 3, which means the restaurant is on the third floor. Di mana restorannya? Di mana restorannya? Which means, where is the restaurant? Di lantai 3. Di lantai 3, which means on the third floor. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details let's listen to an example of the conversation once more.
Selamat malam. Restoran ada di mana ya?
Selamat malam, Pak. Restoran ada di lantai 3.
Terima kasih.
Sama-sama, Pak.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Seperti merakit perahu layar, ku bersiap untuk maju. Dengan hati yang gembira, menyambut pergantian waktu untuk berjumpa denganmu. Ku pastikan kau bahagia denganku. Kau kan melihat sungguh indahnya hidup ini. Tiada yang perlu kau sesali, karena semua akan baik-baik saja. Terus berpacu dalam irama lagu yang kan hiasi harimu.
sama diriku.
That was Merakit Perahu, sung by Hi-Fi. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner. In today's edition, I will present a song titled Zapin Melayu. Zapin was taken from Arabic language. Zafin means rapid-like movements follow the rhythm of the tambourine music instrument. Zapin is a Malay dance influenced by Arabic tradition. This traditional dance is an educative and entertainment dance. Before 1960, Zapin was only performed by male dancers, but now the dance also performed by male dancers or combining of male and female dancers. The song Zapin Melayu tells a story of young men and women performing the Zapin Melayu dance cheerfulness, following the rhythm of Rebana. The song also invites people to preserve and maintain the wealth of Malay culture amidst the development of the world civilization. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Zapin Melayu by Lesti. Enjoy the song.
Tangan dihayun, kaki melangkah mengikuti.
Voice of Indonesia.
Selalu mengingat semua tentangmu. Saat berdua hatiku pun tergetar. Saat kau senyum hatiku pun berdebar. Ternyata bukan milikku. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya. Ku tak rela tuk menyesal. Betapa diriku menginginkan dirimu. Pedih hatiku saat ku sadari mencintamu yang cinta pada dia. Berharap kau segera melupakan.
melupakannya. Berharap kau tak lagi suka padanya. Tuhan tolong ubah hatinya. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya. Ku tak rela untuk menyampaikannya. Tahukah kamu, tahukah dirimu, betapa diriku menginginkan dirimu. Pedih hatiku saat ku sadari mencintamu yang cinta pada dia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.